Full Harvest, a collection of audio stories and poems inspired by the landscape of the South Downs National Park. Episode 7, My Mother, River Lover, by Rosanna Lowe.
You were almost a supernatural, Mother. I dreamt of you again last night. The river was a mirror. You were swimming through sky, cutting through clouds with your powerful crawl. As you rose out of the water, the river came with you, like hair cascading down your shoulders, wrapping itself around you, rippling. You and the river gleaming together, streaming with life and with light. All the things we'd seen together were caught in the waters. Eels, kingfishers, heron, dragonflies danced around you and fish flicked their tails in your streams of hair. You used to joke I was born in that river. I can imagine you standing over the water, hands on your hips, scooping me bloody from the sea inside you. You'd have cut the cord with your penknife, dandled me in the water and strode off laughing with me on your hip. Or maybe not. Maybe you would have held me under. Sometimes I wonder. When I was a child, you'd tell me tales of gods who'd come to women in showers of gold or shapes of swans, and a child would be born, half human, half divine. That river was your lover, the Arun. You'd enter the water like an embrace. On a calm day, it caressed you. On wild days, you'd wrestle the river. The tide and the current run so fast, and sometimes you'd just let it sweep you away. You named me Arun, for the river. But if I was a child, half human, half river, I was disappointingly grounded. When you'd head off on your wild swims, I always sat and waited. I resented that river. It stole you from me. Sometimes you'd be gone for hours, and when you'd come back, you'd mock me. Gonna spend your life sat on the bank? I only went in once. I remember the shiver as my skin met the water, and my dread as you called me in deeper. In the water, everything seemed so much larger. A cormorant loomed like the Loch Ness Monster. The swan that had seemed so serene from the bank eyed me ominously. I was too near the nest. Suddenly, in a flurry, he spread his great white wings, rearing up above me, an avenging angel. I didn't want to swim. I wanted my feet firm on the riverbed. But it was slippy and the current was strong and the tide was rushing out. Suddenly, I was knocked off my feet and swept away by the power of it. I panicked and flailed and grabbed at branches, and you were calling, "Just let it carry you." I stuck to the riverbank after that. I was always a wakeful, watchful child, longing for signs of you returning. I learned to read the river, like I'd learned to read you. I scanned the surface, how it stippled with the wind or rippled like silk in the wake of a swan. How a trout burst through for a mouthful of fly. How a dragonfly skimmed and skirted, flirted with the water. I learned I was never really alone. You bought me a little kit from Woolworths, and I started fishing. You'd climb back out of the water, dripping, and I'd have cooked up my catch in a copper pot, and you'd hug me in delight. I suppose I was angling for affection, really. So many memories. The amazing haze rising up at dawn. A water vole nibbling watercress. The trout swimming out at sea silver, but back in the Arun as brown as the river. Hundreds of mayflies pushing through water to spread their new wings and take flight. Blackthorn blossom floating like confetti and you swimming through it like a river bride. I loved it most when we saw things together. One late afternoon, the light low and golden, I saw a blue glow glide over the water, an orb of an electric blue, like seeing a fairy or a tiny god. When it turned and landed, its red breast caught fire. A kingfisher, you told me. We watched it in wonder. Its body bobbing on the reed, but its dagger bill so still. Those really were halcyon days. The mirror times were the best of all, when the surface of the water seemed a gateway to another world, upside down but calmer than our crazy existence. You were always running from something. Bailiffs, bad boyfriends, your past, a fixed future. Something in your blood always had to keep moving, some ancestral memory of being rocked on roads or rivers. Sussex was once a great swamp, you'd say, and rivers were our roads. I was glad when you swam by the bridges, something solid in the midst of all the movement. A place where I could watch for you coming, so many beautiful brickwork bridges. Heading upstream, they take you back in time, from the great metal swing bridge at Littlehampton, the river's mouth, to Stopham Bridge, 600 years old, a mathematical masterpiece. Seven arches underneath and a zigzagging edge. I'd walk up and down it, waiting for you, tracing the zigzags with my hand until my palm was sore. I didn't know the word for it then, for your ebbs and flows, your unpredictable floods of feeling. I didn't know it was an illness, your tidal bipolarity. On your dark days, we didn't go to the river. At your lowest ebb, you wouldn't even leave your bed. Well, first I'd be glad. I had you to myself. But the singing would stop, and the stories, the shopping, the stealing, the meals. A strange stagnancy in your bedroom. Stillness, silence, and curtains closed. And I'd wait and wait for the tide to turn, and you to return, floating back on your underworld river. And then there were the highs. You'd say everything was speaking to you, speaking or singing or squawking to you, a stream of voices from the river mouth. And I'd see you as those animals, a playful otter in your fake fur coat or a sparkling fish in your sequin dress, as you crooned your way through another pub night, singing Cry Me a River or some other jazz song. But soon the songs would be sung too strongly and you'd linger longer in the pub and everything would start to go wrong again. You were a wonder when you were in flow, though. When you were high as the spring tide, there were floods of songs and stories, endless adventures. We'd follow the flow of the river from the source right to the mouth, bussing or blagging or hitching our way, whatever the weather, however slippy the stiles, however muddy the meadow. You knew all the Sussex words for mud. Sometimes you'd speak them like poetry and sometimes like a cuss. Gorm and gubber. Slab, slob, slub. Pug and stug. Smeary, slurry, sleech. We'd head into St. Leonard's Forest, where the trees rose up like great green gods. Here, you said, the river was born, and you'd tell me the story of the Sussex serpent, England's last dragon, who once slinked through these woods. In your version, St. Leonard was always the villain. He hated nightingales, whose songs spoiled his prayers. He hated adders, and he slew the great serpent. You'd always end the story with, "Did he really kill the serpent? Listen." And we'd listen out for the hiss of the water and see it twisting through the forest, green in its gills and out to the sun where its scales would glitter. Sometimes we'd hitch to Arundel, all cobbled streets and chocolate box charm. We liked it most from a distance, the castle emerging like a Camelot for the Earls of Arundel. And you tell me the tale of Bevis the giant, who guarded the gates with Irondale, his swallow-swift horse, and his sword called Morgulay. And we'd sit by the river at the Black Rabbit pub, and you'd fish our lunch out of your pocket, crumbling scones that you'd nicked from a pretty unwitting tea shop, and we'd make up myths for some trinket or locket you'd pocketed from one of the antique shops. It didn't matter where we were, you always knew how to find the river. You could smell it. Sense it, hear it calling. You held a dowsing rod in your heart. You'd always be hunting for secret sweet spots where you and the river could be alone. The river knows where it's going, you'd sing. The river knows where it's flowing. The Arun's old name was the Trespasser, a rebel river, always bursting its banks. And so we'd followed the river's lead. We'd traipse into a farmer's fields, trespassing for tributaries, looking for water as clear as gin. You wanted to savour every flavour in that river. You'd talk of the taste like whiskey malts, how the weather changed it, the subtle shifts in silt or salt, chalk or iron. You wanted to drink in every drop. You had an endless thirst. You're always traipsing round the pubs, trailing me in your wake. That one warm night, you sang till you slurred, but even after lockup, you wanted one last swim. One more drunken tussle with your river lover. I was used to it. Just a quick dip was like just a quick tipple. That night, I waited and waited. Hours passed and the river grew blacker. An underworld river. In the end, I had to go looking. My tiny torch, the searchlight, scrambling up and down the banks, fear rising in my throat as the night went on. That night, the river was writhing strangely. When I looked closer, I saw hundreds and hundreds of elvers, baby eels wriggling on the bridge's brickwork. It looked like the feeling I had in my stomach. They'd swum from the Sargasso Sea, where all the eels are born. That night, I'd have swum a whole river to find you. You were sprawled by the reeds on the riverbank, muddy legs splayed, hair spread round you. From a distance, I thought you were dead. But closer, I saw the rise and fall of your breath, and your mouth moved a little like a drowning fish. A couple of elvers were caught in your hair. I tried to drag you up the bank, but you were too heavy and I slid in the mud. So I sat with you, shivering till morning, when you woke from your drunken stupor and staggered home, swearing, dragging me behind. That night, eel night, was our last night together. They took me away from you shortly after. No longer the rock to your river, I became a wild child, a wrong one, no fosterer wanted for long. Ended up in London. Full of rivers, but culverted, concreted, covered over. Cruel to cover a river. It loses its magic. I live near a twisting overpass. I found myself thirsting for river. I'd be told off for turning taps on just to watch the running water. I'd people it with trouts and eels. I'd always put a glass of water by my bed, not for drinking, but dreaming. Just as I'd drift into dreams, I'd see it wriggle with tadpoles or pebbles at the bottom, rippling with light. You never came to find me. I felt abandoned, like I was a stone that you'd discarded so you'd be free to go with the flow, the river, the music, the drink, whatever. As soon as I could, I moved back to the river. I guess it was in my bloodstream too. I was in my 30s when I tracked you down. You cried a river when I first found you. You drank and you cried and you cursed and you drank. That was the pattern. You were still running. You'd disappear and I'd track you down and you'd disappear again. The same floods, the same tides that come with bipolar. I had to learn to live with that. You can't ever capture a river. You were in and out of hospitals and hostels for years and years. And finally, the care home. That was hard. My wild and indomitable mother sat with all the others in front of the TV watching a stream of images you never would have chosen. Your skin was paper thin and your veins so blue beneath like river tattoos all over your body. The flood of words had gone. Every now and then there was a little stream of song, brooks still babbling in your mind. Memories had sunk deeper, but sometimes something bubbled back up. The river knows where it's going. The river knows where it's flowing. They let me take you out once. Insisted I wheeled you in a chair. You'd have had words to say about that, but most of your words were gone by then. I drove you to your favourite sweet spot, and when I couldn't get the wheelchair close, I carried you to the water's edge. You were light as a bird by then. It was a perfect day. A mirror moment. The water was glittering, and your face lit up. You looked at me and murmured, "Aaron." Me? Or the river? Didn't matter. I took a camping mug and scooped a cupful of river. You drank it. Which river? Remembrance or forgetfulness? Salt or silt or gin? I don't know. But you smiled, like it was your secret. I lost you a long time ago. I lost you many, many times. Even so, when that final phone call came, I was back in that river, knocked off my feet, the world too big and too strong around me. That surge of sudden sorrow. And in the days and months that followed, the grief kept sweeping me off my feet. I'd drive over a ribbon of river and suddenly I'd be footless and floating and choking and thinking of you. But I remember you shouting, "Just let it carry you. All you can do is surrender." I live by the river mouth now. LA, as they call it, Littlehampton. The fun fair we visited is still here. Strange how it seems so much smaller now. The river's a different person here, wider, not so wild. There are signs here warning you not to swim. One says, "Mind your child." There's a little spot of sand between the golf dunes and the river. I go there sometimes with my little copper kettle, pretend it's my own desert island. I watch the swans and the fishing boats. I sit with the reflections, sometimes clear, sometimes cloudy. Sometimes a kingfisher comes. You've sat too long on my windowsill. I suppose I was holding on. The dream was a reminder. I drive back upstream into the downs and make my way to your favourite sweet spot, cradling you in my hands. The riverbank is slippery and I'm scared I'll drop the urn. So I step into the water. And I step in deeper. And I scatter you to the water. You're back in your element. Back in your flow. Back with your beloved river. And you float for a while. Like the blackthorn blossom. And I watch you running. Running. With the river. To the sea.
My Mother, River Lover was written by Rosanna Lowe and read by Patrick Keeley. It was commissioned and produced by Applause in partnership with the South Downs National Park Authority. We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. There are 9 more podcasts for you to enjoy, so please subscribe to this series.